So I am actually a member of the oral health section, and I was put on the action board to represent the oral health section. And my first duties were as a member of the policy section of the action board, and I've since moved up to the chair's position. And within the policy section of the action board, we actually assist the membership in navigating their way through making comments to proposed policies. So over the last 5 years, I've actually had the ability to be able to see comments that have come in through the membership, been able to provide comments myself. And so I say this to you, and not only in your sitting here as potentially wanting to be the part of the policy process in developing a policy, but also in being able to navigate yourself in the way of making comments towards proposed policies and understanding what a policy really should have within it to make credible and effective comments. I'm also a member of the Joint Policy Committee, and in that role we also really delve into and look at each particular proposed policy to ensure, in fact, that that policy is within the standards of the American Public Health Association. So it's within those two roles that I'm actually going to make my comments today. I have no relationships, personal or financial, to disclose. So an APHA policy actually serves as the foundation for the work of the association. When you go online, you can actually look at all of the policies that have been submitted since the beginning of this association. So there's thousands of policies whose purpose is to improve and promote the public's health. That's the purpose of the policy and really should stand there to serve as what this association is for. So it also serves as a historical record, because if you can assume that a policy that was developed, say, in the 1950s may in fact give us some history as to what was going on in public health back in that time period, and it may serve as a reference to what's going on in 2011. All APHA policies must be relevant, credible, practical, and reinforced by peer-reviewed, evidence-based research. And I say this, in fact, because we can consider the fact from the oral health section's perspective that we might, in fact, submit a policy that says that APHA should not serve any cariogenic foods, any foods that could potentially cause tooth decay, at an APHA meeting. Well, that has credibility, but is it in fact practical? So you need to consider these things when you're developing a policy so that the APHA or the American Public Health Association can in fact stand behind that policy and move it forward. All policies should be written as a directive to outside organizations. The policy that's written isn't directed to what APHA should do, but in fact what its partners, collaborators, and other organizations can do to support the American Public Health Association's policy. It's a directive to help those organizations know what they need to do to improve the public's health and safety. The APHA website serves as a reference point for all members and units who are interested in developing policies. And this, in fact, is a page from the APHA's website. And if you look down in the bottom in that blue box in the middle, you can actually search the database for all APHA policies. You can search that database by keyword. You can search the database by a specific policy number if you know that policy. So all of the policies are listed there, and it's helpful to someone who's interested in developing a policy to know whether or not there's any other policies out there that are very similar, that in fact you may not have to develop a brand new policy, but you could in fact update an older policy with newer relevant information. The American Public Health Association provides a template, and we encourage and in fact emphasize, encourage in bold and underlining that word, that you follow this template in developing a policy. We encourage and again emphasize, underlining it in bold type, reading the directions carefully. to ensure that all information that we're asking for is placed within that policy. This is can also, as I suggest, consider this is a way of updating or, in fact, replacing an existing policy. Did you have a question?
When I wrote a policy a couple of years ago, I went online, and I never saw that. The only thing I used was an example of all the other policies.
This has probably been there at least 3 years, maybe, this specific template, three years or so. And I'll show you the link where you will find this on the APHA website. We encourage you to provide written support from your section's leadership. So the American Public Health Association encourages its membership, as well as the units or sections, SPIGs and caucuses, to send in and develop a policy. But if you're an individual member, per se, of the oral health section, as I am, it would behoove me to get the leadership of the oral health section to sign on and to provide input into the development of the policy. I wouldn't want to be writing that policy about eliminating cariogenic foods at APHA if my own section isn't going to stand behind that policy. We also encourage you to list the units that were included in the development and the review of that policy so that we can understand that it was broad-based input into who was writing this particular policy. We ask you to write in plain English. Clauses such as whereas, thereof, noting, or recognizing should not be used. It's strictly pure English, plain English that should be used. We ask you to completely explain the public health problem and the solution that you're suggesting that the American Public Health Association should move forward. We want you to explain any ethical issues, any controversies, or opposing viewpoints. Specifically, I would be explaining that perhaps candy manufacturers, the restaurant industry here that would be supporting the American Public Health Association's meeting, may not in fact like it if APHA were to eliminate cariogenic foods from this particular annual meeting. So you want to be sure that you're providing all viewpoints to that particular policy. You want to make sure, again, that the action steps are externally directed, that we want to be sure that it's not something that APA should do, but in fact our collaborating members, organizations, perhaps policymakers, and what we want them to do after reading this particular policy. And again, you need to follow the proper formatting of the policy. Formatting guidelines specifically include providing 3 to 5 keywords. These keywords are important because when we're going back to that database that I showed you, these are some of the keywords that people are going to be able to use to pull up that policy and be able to read the policy and utilize it. We ask you to use 8.5 by 11 inch paper with 1 inch margins, 12 point font, and New Times Roman. We also asking you that you use an AMA format for references, and please do spell check. It's honestly amazing to me, and I'll be really honest, that when I'm reading policies as a joint policy committee member, the amount of typos and misspellings, and you look at the bottom and it's been submitted with someone who has a PhD. I'm amazed that somebody would submit something like that. Question?
Yeah, these are submitted online, it's all electronic.
It is not. You're going to be, you actually, you're typing it out yourself and you're either scanning it in or you're submitting it as a Word document online. So somebody is able to do computerized. But again, we all understand that the word there and there and there, spell check is not going to pick up which there you're looking for. So you need to read the policy yourself. And again, the American Public Health Association on the website, on this particular page, provides clear formatting directions. If you don't know what AMA referencing is, you can look that up with directive as to how to do that formatting with whatever periodical or journal or reference material that you're using. references. They must be credible. The Boston Globe is not a credible reference for the American Public Health Association. People Magazine is not a credible reference. It needs to be a peer-reviewed journal. And I believe Dr. Litchfield will go over this a bit more in terms of referencing, but it needs to be peer-reviewed research and science. It needs to be current and credible. Research from the 1970s, if this is such an important topic that you're writing a policy for, there has to be newer references than the 70s or the 80s that you can pull from. You need to be sure that you're reading each article. Where was it published? Is the publication respected? You need to examine the methodology of the research that you're citing. Does it meet contemporary standards of evidence? And again, using relevant citations, is the source reliable that you're citing from the American Public Health Association? The Joint Policy Committee is comprised of Action Board members, Science Board members, and Education Board members that take great time in reviewing each one of these policies and looking at every single reference. So it's important, in fact, to be sure that every reference is credible. These are some hints for building a credible APHL policy. First, to remember the purpose of an APHL policy is to improve the public's health. It isn't to put a personal agenda forward through the American Public Health Association. You also want to be sure that you relate the proposed policies to APHA's overarching priorities and identified policy gaps. Each January, those policy gaps are identified, and you can find them in the advocacy section where all of this information is located. And you can match and see whether or not the policy that you're proposing or perhaps could propose to the association actually fulfills one of these priorities or one of these overarching policy gaps. Collaboration is key. Again, from the beginning, you should be working with other units, SPIGs, and caucuses to develop your policy. If I want to eliminate cariogenic food from APHA meetings, I might get the geriatric section. I might get the section, the Maternal and Child Health Bureau section, to be in support of my policy. I might want to get the section that is heavily involved in supporting those people living with diabetes or obesity to be part of my policy, because they don't want them coming back at any of the hearings or providing comments to negate the importance of my policy. So if everyone's working together, there's a greater chance that it's going to be a credible, supported policy. I'm also going to give you the hint that you might want to ask the epidemiology section to review your policy for credible references and information. They're always providing comments to these policies once they go out to the membership. It would be much better for you to get their comments prior to submitting that policy to make any corrections or additions before it comes before the entire membership. Uh-huh. An opportunity to check and double check your policy. On the APHA website, there's also this policy proposed submission checklist. You can use this checklist to go through your policy. You might actually ask someone else from your unit, section, SPIG, or caucus to go through this as well with you so that you can be sure that you've included everything. Was it formatted correctly? Are the references credible? Did you provide your action step toward an outside organization, or were they directed inward? Did you ensure that you actually included other section SPIGs in caucuses? And did you identify any controversies or ethical issues? And be sure that that you've included everything properly. This, in fact, is the website where you'll find all of the... Thank you so much. This is the website where you'll find all of the information to develop a proposed policy that's credible, effective, and science-based. And I will actually be uploading into the system this, as well as copies of all of the policy information, as handouts within the next week and a half. So if you're interested in finding them there, as well as the reference through here. Are there any questions? Right here.
What about your particular example of the policy of APHA not having carriage and foods at its meeting?
Correct.
Okay. Now, you said also, though, that the action step should not be directed at APHA. So how does this conflict with the example you just gave?
Well, that part of it would conflict potentially, but while these two speakers are sitting, I could think of a way to direct it outward for you. I think that's potentially a bylaw change, but perhaps.
Okay. I've done this before. If you want something directed to APHA itself, you get it on the agenda under new business. And then under new business, the council, governing council, can direct things to the APHA staff or to whatever.
What I was going to suggest is Patricia Warren is here from the American Public Health Association, so if you wanted information about how to do that, you could speak to Patricia. But all of the policies need to be directed outward. They've been directed outward for at least the last 5 years since I've been involved in this particular process.
Used to be you could do it through the association,
through
the policy.
Things change, like everything. Yes. We haven't seen a policy such as that, but I'm assuming that it would be reviewed and it would go back to the authors after the Joint Policy Committee reviewed it with suggestions to make that policy with the action step outside of APHA with a time frame for getting it back in, which is standardized. Those timelines are on the website. And if you were unable to make it go outside of the association, then again, you perhaps would not resubmit it. But that's probably the format that it would go through. Well, I can talk about the archiving process that the Action Board goes through. The Action Board, between January and March of every year, chooses, at this particular meeting actually, a section of policies that are already in place within APHA to ask the membership to review for update or archiving. So it would be at that time to see whether or not that particular policy was still effective for the association and credible. The membership is who actually does that, those suggestions, and then it comes forward back to the Joint Policy Committee and then to the Governing Council to make a final determination. But all of those policies that are considering to be archived or updated are listed in the APHA's Nation's Health, as well as on the website by the middle of to the end of January. Question?
Yeah. If policies are not supposed to